Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, hey, if you're going to build something, a strong foundation is really critical. I'm not a builder, but I know if you're going to build something, a strong foundation, super duper critical. I work in downtown Columbus, and over the past few years, over the past decade, I've enjoyed watching all of the development happen, where parking lots turn into buildings and new skyscrapers go up. And at any given time, there's one or two or three cranes that are popping up on the skyline nearby, and you can watch a building be built. And where there are cranes, there's always construction. You can just kind of go and watch. And I'm up on the 27th floor in my office, and I can look down on some of these projects. And it's interesting how much time that they spend to set the foundation for a building before they start building it up. It seems like it takes forever for them to get that foundation set before the building starts popping out of the ground and growing up like Jack and the Beanstalk into the sky. And that's always just fascinated me, that it takes so much time to clear out the ground and then set the right type of foundation in. Because you see, the architects, the designers know that in order for these buildings to stand the test of time, they need to have a solid foundation. It's critical. Without a solid foundation, that project, those millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars put into that building, they could be at risk of crumbling to the ground just because a good stiff wind came by. And you don't appreciate our zoning codes and our building codes and all of the rules that go into making buildings strong here in the United States until you go to a third world country and you build a building there out of raw materials, and you're like, really? This is up to code? They're like, what is code? What is code? Well, you need a strong foundation if you're going to build. And Jesus, I think, Jesus knew something about strong foundations. You think about this. Who was Jesus? He was the son of a carpenter. The son of a carpenter, I'm sure he was a carpenter, because fathers raised their sons up to do the trade that they did. So I'm positive along the way, Jesus learned the skills and the knowledge to build things. He learned what it was like to put things together. And I'm sure that Joseph, Jesus' father, taught Jesus all about building from firm foundations to fine finishings. That's just, in my mind, that's how I think about Jesus Christ. And you can tell Jesus knew something about building, because once he shared a story about a man who built his home upon a strong foundation of rock. Do you remember that story? He told that story. And he told the story about the man who built the strong foundation on a rock and a man who built his home upon a weak foundation of sand. A weak foundation of sand. And when the storms and the floodwaters came, the man who built on the sand, what happened? He saw his home washed away. Did not have a strong foundation. But the man, the wise man, who built his home upon a rock, his home remained standing, even though the winds and the waters and the waves had come and buffeted his construction. Why? Because the wise man understood the value of investing in a strong foundation. Put a pin in that this morning. A few weeks ago, we began this emphasis over the month of October on what it means for you and I to be the church. What does it mean for us to be the church? And we're using Acts chapter 2, verse 42 as a reference to help guide us into the things that we need to do to perpetuate the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. To perpetuate the presence of the Holy Spirit in our daily walk. That early church in Acts chapter 2, they had figured out that a focus on four key things was critical to the continued movement of the Spirit in their midst. Now, I'm not saying that we're doing things to conjure up, you know, spirits and things like that. That's what I'm not talking about. I'm talking about doing things so that we can orient our lives individually and as a church so that the Holy Spirit can move, so that the Holy Spirit can have freedom to move. Because did you know that there are things that you do in your life that block the Holy Spirit from being able to move in and through you? You control that. God does not force himself on anyone. But they had figured out that there are four things that if they focused on these four things, it would help perpetuate the presence of the Holy Spirit and what was going on. It reads like this in Acts 2:42. It says, they devoted themselves to these four things, to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, last week, Pastor Ed did a great job of talking about what it means to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. To be the church, we all need to be a student. We need to be a student of the Word. We need to be a student of Jesus Christ in our lives. To be devoted to the apostles' teaching is to become a lifelong learner. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, it's not just like a badge you get to put on your lapel and walk around and say, see, I got it. I got that badge. No, it's a commitment to a lifelong learning process at the feet of the Master. Jesus is all about developing us into people that look just like him. And that's not just a calling for pastors. I think Ed did a really good job of that last week. It's not just something pastors need to do to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. We all need to do that. We all need to be devoted. We are all called to be students of the Master, studying the Scriptures on our own, studying the Scriptures with one another. We've got these Bible study opportunities that Pastor Vicki was talking about this morning. And don't forget about Wednesday night Bible study. We have a great time with prayer and Bible study online on the Facebook and our Maplewood Naz group on Wednesday nights. Studying the Word together is huge. Being humble enough to know that you don't have all the answers is important. And being brave enough to pick up that big, thick book and engage with it over time so that we can become mature enough so that we can teach others. Where are you at on your journey right now? If you had to grade yourself, are you in a position where you are teaching other people how to understand what's in the Bible? Or are you in a position right now where you're learning still, gaining confidence in what you believe and what the Bible says? You're not quite there yet where you're able to disciple someone else. Where are you on that continuum? There's no wrong answer. There's no bad answer. Just be honest. And you want to be working from learner to teacher. That's what Jesus calls us to be. He wants us to move from learner to teacher. Becoming a student, one of the four ways to perpetuate the presence of the Spirit in our individual lives, but also in the life of our church body here at Maplewood. So today, I want to hit one of the other topics in Acts 2:42. It's really the last item on the list, and because of the funeral this week, we decided to change up the order of what we were going to hit on, because Pastor Vicki was supposed to bring Be a Friend this week, but we're flipping things around. We're just trying to keep you on your toes. I'm just trying to make sure you do not miss out on anything. But this week, to be the church, each of us must be willing to become a prayer warrior. Each of us must be willing to become a prayer warrior. With no foundation of prayer, there is nothing upon which we can build in our lives. Prayer is critical. Prayer is essential to our relationship with Jesus Christ. Prayer is essential to our ability to relate with one another in the body. Prayer is essential to the life and the health of the church. Several years ago, I happened upon this phrase in a training program that I took for work, and I think it still holds today. It goes like this: the relationship is the conversation, or the conversation is the relationship. I want you to think about that for just a couple of seconds. The conversation is the relationship. The relationship is the conversation. Our relationships with the other people in our lives are defined by the conversations we have with them. Think about that for a second. Think about the relationships of your immediate circle of people. And the relationships are defined by the words we share with one another. The relationships that we have in our life, they're defined and shaped by the conversations that we share over the breakfast table or the kitchen table or the dinner table. The relationships we have in our life are shaped by the words we speak and the tone and the intent behind them. You know when somebody's angry when they speak at you, and you know when somebody is speaking in love to you. Those words matter. And boy, we internalize the words other people say all the time and maybe make them mean something they were never intended to mean. Be careful with your words, church, in our relationships with each other, because relationships are defined by the conversations. The relationships are also defined and shaped by the words we choose to withhold. The conversations over meals, the conversations shared in those good times and bad times, but they're also revealed and defined by those moments when we bite our tongue. You can save a relationship by shutting up. Amen. Sorry, Mom. She'd say, Joseph, don't say shut up. That's bad. You can save a relationship by biting your tongue. You can destroy a relationship by just letting it flow. You know, sometimes I don't have a filter. You know what I'm saying? I say things that I'm not supposed to say, and I'm like, did that really come out of my mouth? And we have to be careful because relationships are defined by the words we say and the words we don't say. Moments when we bite our tongue. Moments when we wish we would have said something. And we didn't. But we should have. And if we would have said it, it would have made the relationship go down a different path. Has the ability to do that. Our relationships are defined by the conversations we share in person. So we have one-on-one conversations, face-to-face, maybe behind a mask, right? These days, our relationships are defined by the conversations we share in texts, in emails, by FaceTime or Messenger, those Zoom Teams, whatever we do these days, those relationships are defined by all those interactions. You know, if you just went and picked up your phone this morning and looked at your text messages, look at the people in there. Look at the conversations. That's the relationship that you have with each of them. All those relationships, all those conversations. I look at my text messages and I can't find a single text on my phone where I am dialoguing with the President of the United States. I don't have that. Not the current one or the last one. Why? Because I don't have a relationship with them. If I did, we'd be able to see the conversation going on there. I don't have a relationship with the current or the former or any of them. Where there's no conversation, written, spoken, unspoken, there is no meaningful relationship. That's called an acquaintance. A-K. No conversation, no real relationship. You have all those friends on your Facebook list, but how many of them do you actually have a relationship with? It's not only true with the people in our lives, it also applies to our relationship with the Father in heaven. It applies to our relationship with God as individuals, but it also applies collectively. Our collective relationships make the church up. We all, our prayer life or lack of prayer life doesn't just affect my life, it affects our lives. Remember what I talked about? We can be obstacles to allowing the Spirit to move. If we're coming, but we're not praying, we might be an obstacle. If we're showing up, but we're not talking with God on a regular, meaningful relationship, we might be in the way of the Spirit moving. What are we going to do? No conversation with God, no relationship with God. He's just an acquaintance, knowledge in your brain. Make no mistake about it. This morning, Maplewood, your prayer life matters.
Amen.
I want you to hear that this morning. It's simple. Your prayers matter. You might discount yourself. Your prayer life matters. It matters to you. It matters to the broader body of believers here at Maplewood. It matters to your community. If your prayer life is lacking, you're not just missing out for yourself. You're missing out for the rest of the body of believers too. You see, prayer is the most simple way. I want you to think about this morning. Prayer is the most simple, easily accessible way every day to put your faith into action. And the act of prayer is the simplest way to put your faith in action. In James, he told the church, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. You can say you have faith, but if you don't put your faith into action, it's kind of useless. It's kind of useless. Prayer is acting on our faith. Think about it. It's so simple. It goes right by us some of the time. But the act of prayer is the most simple act of faith. When we pray to God, think about this for a second. When we pray to God, this is not brain surgery or rocket science. When we pray to God, we're speaking to a God we cannot see. Anybody see God this morning in person? Maybe some of you did, and I don't want to discount that. But when we pray, typically we're praying to a God we cannot see. But we pray in faith that we are heard.
Yeah.
Amen. We pray in faith that we are heard. That is acting on your faith. When you pray, because sometimes we pray and we're just like, this feels stupid. This feels useless. Am I a fool? You know? Don't answer that. So I just want to, that was a rhetorical question. Aren't you thankful that God hears our prayers? God hears our prayers. I think so often we perceive prayer as some long-distance phone call kind of relationship. And for the kids, they don't know what a long-distance phone call is. Remember back in the day when you had the long-distance bill? Remember back in the day when you had to call the operator to place a long-distance call? And somebody in the background was plugging things in. Vicky's mom actually worked for the phone company when she was a young lady. Wilma did too. You know, switchboard operator, switching things around. And you would do a long distance phone call. And you know, we think that God, I think sometimes when we pray, we perceive that God is off in some far distant galaxy that the Hubble telescope can't even see. You know, we put distance between ourselves and God. Or that God is like overseas and we need to call the operator for that overseas long distance call. And back in the day when long distance calls were a thing, I racked up quite a few long distance bills with this young lady over here during our relationship back in the 80s. But sometimes the long distance connection was not as good as a connection that was a local connection. Because you were relayed and there was just a lot of loss of signal over the distance. But prayer, in reality, is the exact opposite of a long-distance phone call. Prayer is the exact opposite of a long-distance phone call. It is so much easier to pray when we embrace the reality that heaven, that the throne of God, is simply a breath away. I want you to picture that this morning. Heaven is outside of time. It's outside of this universe, but it's a breath away. You know, God is closer than right next to us. Heaven is so close we can almost taste it sometimes. I think when we worship and when we are moving in the Spirit, it's when our lives are intersecting, earth intersecting heaven, God working in us and through us. A prayer. When we embrace the reality that God is a breath away, it makes praying a lot easier for me. I don't know about you, but God is so much closer to us than we realize. Heaven is so much closer than we can imagine. Your prayers are heard. You can probably hear my prayers better in heaven with this microphone on than you could without. I don't know. You don't need a microphone. You don't need a megaphone. Your prayers are heard. Your prayers matter. James writes again in his letter to the church in James chapter 5, says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And James encourages us to consider Elijah. Elijah the prophet was a man. He was just like us. He was a human being. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. God hears our prayers. Not just in the Old Testament, God hears our prayers today. God hears our prayers. And did you know that through prayer, God wants to communicate with you? It's not a one-way thing. In order for our prayers to take hold and become effective, we need to be committed to laying down a foundation of prayer in our lives. A foundation of prayer. We're called to be prayer warriors. Be a prayer warrior. We can't engage in spiritual warfare successfully if we're not prayer warriors. We're going to get slayed. if we don't have a strong prayer life. So just a couple of quick things this morning, just to help us focus in on what it means to be a prayer warrior, a person who realizes their prayer matters. To be a prayer warrior takes a commitment of time. And again, none of this is rocket science. If the person next to you today, sitting in the sanctuary or wherever you're at, if the person next to you today had to grade you on the amount of time, quality time, you devote to prayer every week, what would that grade look like if they were able to have that knowledge and grade you? What would the honest grade be for the amount of time, quality time, we devote to prayer? So often I think we're guilty of what I like to call prayer on the run. Prayer on the run. Pastor, I pray all the time while I'm driving. I pray all the time, Pastor, while I'm walking. I pray all the time, Pastor, while I'm working. Oh, Pastor, I pray all the time while I'm watching Netflix. I pray all the time. And you know, yes, the Bible does say pray continuously, right? That is scriptural. That is biblical. But many of us in the church today have made that little scripture a crutch on defining what our prayer life actually looks like. You see, we're always busy doing all these other things, but we never really sit down and devote 100% of our energy and our commitment to some quality time in prayer with the Lord. And it makes us anemic, not only as individuals spiritually, but also anemic as a church. No energy, no power, because we're not really committing the time to pray. We shoot prayers up into heaven while we're on the run, but we never make the time to be still, to be silent, so that we can listen and allow God to speak to us. We're too busy, and we continue to pray on the go, and if we are on the go prayers, be careful, because you may be building your foundation on the sand. We may be building our foundation on the sand, and we're just hoping, gambling, that the floodwaters never come. You know, a lot of people in the church are against gambling, but there's a lot of people in the church gambling all the time. Taking a chance. Taking a chance. We don't want to be guilty of that. It takes a commitment of time if we're going to be prayer warriors. To be a prayer warrior takes a commitment of the heart also. It takes a commitment of the heart. You know your heart is really into something when you're willing to listen. You know you're invested if you're willing to listen. Laying a foundation of prayer in our lives, it's not just about saying words. It's not just about a soliloquy. It's not solo time. Prayer is as much about listening as it is talking. Listening to God in prayer. Think about having a really good conversation with a friend. Think about that for a minute. Having a really good conversation with a friend. There's give and take in a conversation with a friend. You're not always talking. Those are not fun relationships when somebody's always dominating the conversation. Give and take, input, reaction, reciprocity, feedback, sharing of ideas, iron sharpening iron, just the same. Prayer is a conversation with God in which our heart is in it. We're not just about telling him, we're about receiving also from him, letting him speak to us. It's when our ears, our spiritual ears, are tuned in. It's when we're willing to hear and listen and respond. When our heart's in it, we're going to be willing to respond in obedience to God. If you were to grade yourself this morning, is your heart really in your prayer life? It takes time, it takes heart commitment. To be a prayer warrior takes a commitment of focus also. It takes a commitment of focus. Be really honest with you, prayer is hard work. Okay? Prayer is hard. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to pray. Prayer is hard work. Sometimes we have to strain to hear the Lord. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Are you awake this morning? Did I put you to sleep? We have to strain to hear what God is saying sometimes. It's a challenge at some point. Sometimes we have to strive to stay on task when we are praying. How many of us begin to pray, but then 5 minutes later we realize that we have totally daydreamed into someplace else? Anybody else willing to admit that this morning? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Our minds wander. It's difficult because we've strayed off into daydreaming or thinking about something else we've got to solve in our lives. Sometimes we need to stay in our prayer closet until we're finished. And, you know, we know that prayer is a priority. We know how much of a priority prayer is when we find ourselves not finishing and just moving on to the next thing. How often do we cut conversations off with people? We tend to do that with relationships, right? We cut things off early. I've learned over time, the more I learn to pray, the more focused I am able to stay. Prayer takes focus. Prayer takes commitment. You need repetitions. You need to practice prayer and able to stay focused in prayer. We have to pray and practice it. We have to practice prayer. I was telling Ed last week, I saw a statistic. The human person does not become proficient in something until they've practiced it 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours. If you want to call yourself a professional, and there are many of you who go to work every day and you've logged in 10,000 hours over probably 5 years, you're a pro. You're no longer amateur at that. Would we say we're an amateur in prayer or a professional in prayer? 10,000 hours. Prayer takes practice. And prayer is so important that Jesus modeled it for his disciples. Okay? It was so important that Jesus took the time to model this for his disciples. They took note of his prayer habits so much that they wrote about them in their gospels. He went away for prayer a lot, didn't he? He kind of got away from the crowd. He went to pray. If prayer was a priority for Jesus, shouldn't it be a priority for his followers? For his disciples. And the wonderful thing is Jesus doesn't leave us hanging. His disciples were very interested in, you know, he goes away and he prays a lot. What's he praying? And so I think finally they got up the nerve and they're like, Jesus, what do you pray? Teach us how to pray. And he teaches them. And it's what we know today as the Lord's Prayer. And he gave them a pattern, a prompt to use to guide their prayers. And some people just prayed the Lord's Prayer, rote, and just be with it. But use the Lord's Prayer. Every phrase of the Lord's Prayer is a prompt to help you pray for everything you need to pray for any given day. And you can pray that pattern for yourself. You can pray it for other people. If you prayed the Lord's Prayer, every phrase for yourself and for your family and for your church, you'd probably pray for about an hour. That easy. Prayer. Jesus modeled it. Jesus had ingrained in them an understanding that to be effective in their ministry moving forward, they were going to have to build their ministry upon a strong foundation of prayer. And unlike building a house or a skyscraper, they didn't just lay the foundation once. We're called to continually lay the foundation of prayer in our lives in order that we can be the church. Prayer is the foundation upon which everything else is built. You know, when I'll close real quick here. When I was younger, and back in the olden days, you all remember this too, visiting old technology, we had this big RCA stereo in our dining room. And we would have that stereo. It had the knobby tuner dial. It's not digital like it is today. It had that knobby tuner dial, and my mom and dad, they'd always listen to WHIO or WPTW out of Piqua. And it was interesting because that tuner would fade to the left or the right. Remember how that happened? And it would get out of tune. And so there would be static in the signal, and you couldn't really hear what was going on. This was before digital. This is all analog, and you'd hear white noise. And every once in a while, you'd have to go back to that radio set, and what would you have to do? You'd have to adjust the tuner, and you'd have to fine-tune it until the signal was crystal clear. And I think as followers of Jesus, people who are devoted to prayer, my question for us this morning is, how are we doing with that, fine-tuning our prayer life so that we can connect with God clearly? God wants to talk to you. God wants to guide you. God may want to be leading you into something that helps you help someone else in our church, but you can't hear his voice if you're not praying. Prayer is the exercise of aligning my heart with God's heart. Amen. Prayer is the exercise of aligning my will with God's will. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life here on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is about aligning my desires, my agenda, with God's desires and God's agenda. Are we willing to invest the time? Are we willing to focus? Are we willing to really put our heart into our prayer lives? That's what it takes, folks, to become prayer warriors. And that's what it takes for us to be the church that God wants us to be.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.